We continue our Bible survey on Wednesday evenings. We're looking now at 1 Kings. We come to a place where we are something in the neighborhood of a little over 400 years of 450 years of being out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt has been a rough row to hoe for the children of God. They wanted out bad, and their cry went up to God, "Lord, get us out of here." And God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And he fulfilled to the promise to Abraham that I'll make of your seed a great nation. And they left Egypt, several thousand people. And they took a short journey to the promised land, of course, and because of unbelief, lack of faith, disobedience, they didn't go in for 40 years. That whole generation died in the wilderness because of that disobedience and because of that lack of faith. And then God used Joshua to take him into the promised land. And the Bible tells us that under the leadership of Joshua, the people of Israel were right with God. For that, I believe Joshua's time of leadership was 24 years. And they made great progress in capturing the land and in occupying the land. And then through the time of the judges, it was a series of ups and downs. They would take a couple of steps forward and a couple of steps back, and it was a very difficult time. God would raise up judges to show them the way, and maybe they would take a couple steps forward, and then that judge would die, and that generation would die, and they would take several steps backwards. Well, we're now about 450 years out of Egypt. And David prepared the materials for the nation of Israel to be an amazing place. The nation of Israel, a united kingdom, an amazing testimony. They went forth and they conquered and they were being obedient. The Bible tells us that David's heart was right with God, save in one thing, and that is as it relates to the matter of Uriah and, of course, Bathsheba. And so David's son Solomon assumes the throne. And the nation of Israel is really at its apex. They're just entering into their glory. And the first 20 years of Solomon's rule, they build the house of God, takes 7 years. They build Solomon's temple, takes 13 years. The 20 years of building, then the Queen of Sheba comes and she looks and she says, "Wow," the Bible said that she had, in our vernacular today, it took her breath away. There's no spirit left in her. She just looked and she said, "Wow, this is amazing. God has blessed you. Your people are united. Your people are happy. Your people are prosperous beyond any wild imagination." And that was in the middle of Solomon's reign. And we pick up then at the end of Solomon's reign in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon. Twice the Lord had come. I'm not reading now. You can turn to 1 Kings 11, 9. Twice the Lord had come to Solomon and said, "Follow my word, follow my principles, follow my teachings, follow my truth." And standing truth, or, you know, standing law was no marriage with foreign people. Solomon completely disregarded that, married many, many wives of foreign countries, and those wives turned his heart from God. That's where we read here in 1 Kings 11:9. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Now, tonight, we're actually going to see that. We're actually going to see the kingdom torn from Solomon and his lineage and handed to his servant. And it goes on and explains here, only 10 of the tribes. Let's read on, verse 12. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son David, for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And so God tells Solomon, you've ruined it. Listen, now think about this. 450 years thereabouts that it took them from Egypt to get to this place where the Queen of Sheba and those around just stood back at the people of God and said, wow. And in the matter of a couple of decades, it is going to be completely gone. Think about that. 450 years to get there, and because of disobedience, especially in the realm of religious obedience, or the lack thereof, gone within a couple of decades. I thought about this as I think about our country. It's amazing, as quickly as we've turned from God, that we've lasted as long as we've lasted. Within 20, 30 years, God pretty much annihilated Israel. We're still here. I don't know how. We're hanging by the skin of our teeth. But the way that we've turned as a nation from God, it's amazing. We're still here. Well, Solomon gets the word from God. Verse 14 here tells us the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Verse 23. Look at verse 23 now. And God stirred him up another adversary. And so right towards the end of Solomon's rule, because of the anger of the Lord against Solomon, that because of the disobedience in Solomon's life, he'd made all sorts of idols and other gods and gods for his other wives and just made a mockery of religion. And God says, forget it. All this that we've built up, tearing it down. And God stirred up adversaries. And verse 41 through 43 of this chapter, we'll read of Solomon's passing. 1 Kings 11, 41. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did, and all his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Right after the death of Solomon, very naturally so, Rehoboam took office. Now the first 12 verses or so of chapter 12, you have the story of the people coming to Rehoboam. And they said, your dad, King Solomon, had all these big building projects going on, and the taxes were outrageous. Lessen the taxes. Please, Rehoboam, lessen the taxes. And Rehoboam sought counsel, and the older men said, you better lower the taxes, or they're going to rebel. The younger men said, nah, just keep the taxes up there. Rehoboam got angry, got arrogant, got something. He actually said, I'm not going to lower the taxes, I'm going to raise them. And they said, okay, fine. And they rebelled. In just a few years, Solomon's building project had taken place over the first 20 years of his reign. He reigned 40 years, and so you have 20 years there of a edging towards the downward slide, and then he dies. Rehoboam takes over, and it doesn't go well at all. Verse 19 and 20 of chapter 12. Verse 19 and 20 of chapter 12. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And if you go on and read a little more, Benjamin, verse 21 will actually be included, and Benjamin will be included there. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, and 180,000 chosen men, and they were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. They're starting a civil war. Rehoboam gets the folks that came before him and said, be the king. I mean, you're the next in line, and that's fine. You're on the throne, but please lower the taxes. The building projects are over. He says, no, I'm going to make it higher. 10 of the 12 tribes rebelled, and they called upon Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an officer in Solomon's... he was an officer of Solomon's men. He wasn't of the lineage. Remember, God said, I'm going to rend Israel. I'm going to tear Israel away from you. Save one tribe, Judah. Benjamin seems to have blended in with Judah. And they're, I don't know why, but they're only mentioned kind of as an extra little footnote on the side. But Judah is always mentioned. Benjamin goes with them. And they stay with Rehoboam. Now, that's called Judah, or the southern two tribes. The northern ten tribes will stay under the name of Israel. Jeroboam will be their king. We read here where they made Jeroboam their king. Now, for this period of time, when you have the divided kingdom, when you read about all of Israel, you have to be careful to look. Most likely, they're talking about the ten northern tribes. And Judah, the two southern tribes, are separate. And they have separate everything. The ten northern tribes, the capital was Samaria. And the southern tribes, the capital was Jerusalem. So you have now just the opposite of what you had 20 to 30 years earlier. This united, content, happy, prosperous kingdom. The glory of God to everybody who saw it. And Sheba said, wow. And she did not say, look what you have done. She said, look how God has blessed you. And it was an honor to God. And she recognized the hand of God upon them for their obedience, and that their happiness and their prosperity was flowing out of all of that. And then Solomon disobeyed God on such a level. Remember, he said, I'm a jealous God. And I'll not have you giving your worship to other gods. I'll not have you turned to man-made idols. I'll not have you build altars to other gods. Solomon did all of these things. That's amazing. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? But it reminds us just how much we need to constantly look to the Lord, because we could do the same thing that quick. The Bible calls Solomon the wisest. And if he can make that kind of an error, I could make it every day of the week and twice on Saturday. You know, it's sobering to me. When we consider then what the two tribes are, the divided kingdom, 10 to the north, 2 to the south, then we consider, well, some of them stayed true to the Lord, right? Most of the time not. They went through various kings down through the ages, and almost a majority of the time, no. And there's a few examples here that I want to read here in 1 Kings. 1st, let's read verses 22 through 24. Remember, we had read in verse 21 where they had assembled a group between Judah and Benjamin, and they were going to fight against the house of Israel. In verse 22, the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and say to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. I'm doing this. I'm tearing it apart. Don't you fight to put it back together. They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Now we turn to some of the acts of Jeroboam. He is the king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mound of Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now listen to what Jeroboam said. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Seemingly identifying these two calves of gold that he'd made. And he said, look at this. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, just like we saw in Exodus 32, wasn't it? And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan, and he made an house of high places. And now notice this, and made priests of the lowest of people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He even started ordaining his own priests. And not only that, there in verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. This is a complete counterfeit. And he's even trying to make it look a little bit like the real thing. That's the way the master counterfeiter works. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 18th month, and even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Well, Jeroboam is a gem of a guy, isn't he? He knows that if the people get anywhere near the house of God in Jerusalem, their hearts might be turned back to God. And he might lose the throne. He even surmised he might lose his life. Well, he didn't want to lose his life, and he didn't want to lose the throne. So he said, we got to do something to keep those folks from going back to Jerusalem. We got to do something to keep them away from God. So he sets up his own golden calves, sets up his own altars in high places, ordains his own priests, completely fabricates a man-made religion, and plays right into the tendencies of a man. Makes it easy for him. Makes it so that it's not so much effort. There was a passage here in the Kings that said it's too far for you to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to travel all that way to Jerusalem. I'll set up worship centers right here. I mean, we want to make it easy. We want you to be able to. What are these signs you see all over some of these mega churches? Come as you are. We want to make it easy. We want to make it user friendly. And he played right into the tendency of man. Man by nature is religious enough, that's never been the issue. But to focus that religious exercise into an obedient consistency with the word of God, now that's the issue. And Jeroboam did everything he could do to keep them from going in that direction, largely to retain his power on the throne. So many parallels in that you see going on today. You just let your minds run on that a little bit. Well, we have also verses, let's see, we'll start with 1 Kings 14. First Kings chapter 14 and verse 14. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what even now? For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. And he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tisra, and when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. We find, let's read on. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake. My Bible is missing a word right there. Keith, what's after spake?
By.
Okay. That is not there in my Bible. Which he spake by the hand of his servant, Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers. And Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. So after 22 years, Jeroboam died, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Of course, over Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And so the latter 20 years of Solomon's rule was a downhill slide as it relates to their relationship with the Lord. And the next 20 years of Jeroboam, the country had been split, and it's a further downward slide, so 40 years. And it's a mess. 450 years to build it. 30 to 40 years, it's a mess. 1 Kings 14, now 21. The theme then cuts back to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigning in Judah. Verse 21 here. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that they did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. Next couple of chapters of Kings is a varying list of men that reigned in Israel and in Judah. But a further downfall of even the two tribes, the tribes of Judah, a further downfall of them as it relates to their worship and their religious endeavors that were unbiblical. And notice that when I was reading there towards the end of 1 Kings 14, that the Egyptians made war with them and basically pilfered all of the house of the Lord and the Solomon's temple. Those two things that were the pride of Israel, those two things that were the mark of the hand of God blessing those folks, the people of Egypt just came and stripped it all away. The gold shields that would have been a real status there as they protected the king, they didn't have anything to replace it with. They replaced it with bronze. Far less costly. The nation is very, very, very quickly at a terribly low ebb spiritually. But in the darkest of times, God raises up a light. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're introduced to Elijah. Elijah comes onto the scene, the prophet of God, to scream out, "Repent! Turn back to the Lord." The prophet of God to cry out, "You're going the wrong way." And warning the people, "Turn from this." The prophet of God to turn men and point them to God. Say, "He's the way." That is still true today. That as the times get dark, God raises up men to point the way. We all can be, in that sense, prophets of God. We all can be telling others and saying, "Look, this Bible, this is the way. Don't go that way and that way and that way. Go this way." Don't fall into the same error that so many have before. But right here, follow this way. Because you know what? We see what happens when God's people turn from God and start doing their own thing. God tore it all apart very, very quickly. And He'll raise up prophets and they'll turn back to God. They'll slide away and He'll put them in the woodshed for a while and they'll turn back to God. That cycle goes back and forth. That's our survey for tonight. How sobering it ought to be as we recognize just how unworthy we are. How frail and prone, the song came to my mind, prone to wander. May God help us to sink our roots deeply in this book and endeavor to stay with this book. No matter who else is or is not, to stay with the teachings of the Word of God. We have seen tonight the result of turning, and especially in the religious aspect of our lives, in the worship aspect of our lives, we've seen the result of what the Bible calls spiritual adultery. God, help us not to fall into that, but to stay true to Him. And be that bright light shining. This is the way. Hold up the Word of God. This is the way. Let's pray.